Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with the Freedom Nation podcast. And on today's show is Anne-Marie Hatfield. Now, Anne-Marie's an old friend of mine, and I'm not saying she's old. I'm just saying she's an old friend of mine who is a college coach. And I decided to bring her on. Her and I were going back and forth on an email chain a few weeks ago, and all of a sudden it was kind of the ding, light went off in my head. And I thought to myself, you know what? I've never brought her on to really talk to the audience about how do you fit, you know, building a business or working in a job along with trying to figure out when you're going to get your freedom day and then how you're going to educate your kids on top of all that and figure out how you're going to make all this work together. So we are going to talk about that today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back in just a second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Anne-Marie, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How's it going?
I am fantastic. Thank you for being on. We have a nice, lovely, balmy 80-some-odd degree day here in Austin, Texas, with no rain like they said they promised us. So it's just fun.
Chamber of Commerce weather for sure.
It is Chamber of Commerce. Well, usually Chamber of Commerce weather is the opposite, and we could use some here pretty soon. Well, let's get started. Tell us a little bit about your story. How did you get into the business that you're in?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Jeff. So long story short, my mom was public education for 35 years. And when I was growing up, I always wanted to be a high school counselor. At the time, you weren't able to be a counselor without being a teacher first. And my mom said, honey, you just don't have the patience to be a teacher. So can't be a counselor. And
you can't be a counselor if you've killed a whole bunch of kids as a teacher, so they won't let you do it.
Right. Yeah. So life kind of took, you know, the different pathway as it always does. 20 years later, I was a friend of mine asked me to help her build a sales department at an educational services company. So I was there about a year, and I really liked the idea. And I liked the concept, but I wanted to run a business in a different way. And so I went to my CEO, who I adored, and said, you know, love the concept, but, you know, I think I'd like to try something different. And so we actually popped out and formed a business. That was back in 2011. Yeah. And I mean, it's the craziest thing. Never in a million years would I have ever thought I wanted to be a business owner. And it's the best thing that ever happened to me, to be honest with you.
That's awesome. So how did you get started? I mean, did you go through some kind of training or did you just kind of figure it out? Or
that's a really good question. We kind of winged it. Now, my business partner had about 10 years experience within the educational services industry. And I'm a salesperson at heart. And so I learned the process pretty much from the inside out to be able to sell it. And so we took kind of the knowledge that we gained by working at that educational services company. I call it like a popcorn, right? We took the little bitty kernel and then popped it and created the process that we have right now pretty much from scratch.
Okay.
The genius thing about being in a small business like ours is that we're able to adapt based on client feedback. And so we would ask our clients at the end of every season, what did you like? What's missing? And if there was anything missing, and lots of people said so, we were able to, you know, just adapt that and put that into our process.
Well, it shows that you're responsive to them, too. They're like, okay, then you get more referrals when you respond to what they said. Yeah, I wish you would have had this.
100%. Right. And, you know, it's client satisfaction is really the end goal for everything, right? And so we want to make sure that we're serving our clients in the manner and in the way that they want to be served. So it's nice to be nimble. As a small business, you're able to be nimble and make those changes on the fly if needed.
I love it. Love it. So you started the business, you got going. For all of us, it's always a bit of a challenge in those first few years. What were some of the struggles and challenges you had getting started? I mean, were people even aware that this existed when you got started? Or
that's an amazing question, because still, even almost 15 years in, probably 90% of what I do.
What do you mean people know what it is?
Right. I mean, even 90% of what I do really is to help educate families that there are services like ours out there. So,
yeah,
struggles along the way. I mean, when I think back, we started our business with one referral. We had one person that said that they wanted to work with us. And we said, okay. And so we created the process, had one client. At the very beginning of our journey, the way we got clients was to do seminars, right? Okay. We would get a list from a school district, and we would mail postcards out to all of these people and invite them to a seminar on, you know, how to plan for college. Because just the way to plan to college is so dramatically different than it was, you know, the million years ago that I went to college. It was very, very different. And so we would do educational seminars that way. It was the first couple of years were pretty rough, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to try to get that traction until you're able to start working with people who can help you sell your process by their experience with you. And so luckily, we've done a really good job over the years, and we're about 75% referral. So most of the business that we get these days is by referral, which is amazing if the phone is ringing. And so when the phone isn't ringing, we still do lots of webinars now. We do them via Zoom usually now. In fact, we have a couple coming up over the next couple of weeks. But, you know, it's educating families that there are services like ours out there and giving them an idea of the steps that they need to take to be able to put their student in the best position possible to get into the schools that they're interested in. So challenging years those first couple of years. Now, you know, it's still challenging. It's just different challenges now.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, things change. You've got less certainty and some of the funding side of it and things like that today. Yep. So, you know, I you know, just like my business, it's, you got to adapt to what's going on, because you know, if you sit on your haunches, you're going to go out of business.
Right. I mean, if you're not growing, you're dying.
That's exactly. If you aren't moving forward, you're going backward. Yes. That's Patton's quote, and I love it to this day.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about what you do as a college coach. So explain to me kind of that process. When do you engage with, you know, I think it's changed since even you and I got to know each other. It's certainly changed on how early people start now.
Yeah, 100%. So the company is called College Inroads. We are, our technical term is called educational consultants. We help high school students with the process of getting into college. So it's kind of brass knuckles, bare bones. That's what we do. That's our bread and butter day in, day out. And so we have a proven process that lends some structure to the process of getting into college. Just high level, we help the students figure out what they want to major in. Educational resume helps them gather the information needed for college applications and interviews they might have with admissions reps. An extensive college search really is the cornerstone of our company. Believe it or not, there's almost 2,700 four-year universities in the United States. Ooh. Most families know 20. Right? The good football team or baseball team or basketball team, whatever, you know, whatever sport is popular.
Which are typically the worst possible school to go to if you're trying to get any kind of help.
Yeah, potentially, sure. Because believe it or not, too, there is a college for everybody. So, you know, if you have a student that's at the bottom of your class, there's still colleges out there for them. That's one of our biggest success stories, is helping somebody at the bottom of their class. And they got into four of the six schools they applied to and got a nice scholarship. So there's hope, the best, the worst, and everybody in between. So essays and applications, we're getting ready to start working on those with all of our juniors right now. We do prepare and submit financial aid forms for all of our clients. And believe it or not, at the end of the day, college tuition in some cases is negotiable. And so I'm helping some of our seniors, some of our clients with kids that are seniors going to college in a few months, helping them with what's called the appeals process right now. Because
okay,
you might be able to get a couple of extra thousand out of your school of choice, depending.
Yeah. Yeah. How bad do they want you at that point?
100%. If I could wave a magic wand and we could get all of our clients at one point in time, it would be second semester sophomore year. That's really okay. The best time to contract with somebody like us. But as I mentioned in our conversation earlier, we have an eighth grade package now just because we had so many people ask for it. I know.
Yeah.
We call those early.
Well, but I'm guessing, that kind of helps guide them through, okay, these are the extracurricular activities you should be doing during your high school years and everything.
Yeah. And by starting early, it really allows you to stretch the process out over an extended period of time. And we break it down into small bite-sized pieces. It really does help relieve a lot of the stress along the way. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and especially for some of the higher performers, I mean, I see them through the incubator program that I'm part of, and I see how stressed they get, especially this time of the year, in their junior year and they're trying to fit in our projects along with, the four other major projects that they're doing with DECA and all this. And then, you got to take finals right. too on top.
Don't forget about the academics, which is the
yeah,
most important
Yeah, do the academic
thing.
Part too. You've got to get in that. Too. Yeah, it's not all extracurricular.
Right.
So walk me through kind of that process of somebody new. Let's say you get your ideal client. They're second semester, you said what, sophomore year?
Yes, sir.
How am I going to engage with you as a student and as a parent?
Yeah, it's an interesting concept because the people that pay for our process are not necessarily mm-hmm. the person that we're working with. So the parents okay. usually will pay for the process. The parents mm-hmm. are the grandparents. And then we actually work the process with the student. And so all of our students are paired with an educational consultant, and they are walked through kind of the standard meeting process that we have, the career search, mm-hmm. the resume, the college search, the essays, et cetera. There is flexibility within that process because everybody's different. And so we want to try to meet the kid where they are. And mm-hmm. every family has different needs. And so we adjust our process based on what the family's needs are. But we really, we guide them by the hand throughout the entire process. The kid does the work. We're here to manage, direct, steer, cajole. I had somebody call us the other day, a college Sherpa. Which makes a ton of sense to me because the Sherpa helps you climb Mount Everest, but they are not climbing for you. And it's an appropriate analogy because that's exactly what we do. The kids do the work. We're mm-hmm. just there to make sure they're hitting deadlines. If they forget to do some of their homework.
I can't believe that would have happened, but okay.
Or they get super busy during the projects and the AP test and the incubator, et cetera. Then we're there just to give them, a gentle reminder. Hey, don't mm-hmm. forget, this is the deadline. We need to make sure we hit that. And so we have staff that help and guide along the way. And it really does. Perfect. I mean, the reason why somebody would hire an educational consultant, because potentially you could do this on your own. But what might take you 40 hours might take us an hour. Right. Yeah. And we kind of have our thumb on the heartbeat of what's happening within our industry. When I could do my taxes by myself, but do I want to go learn the tax code? Right. Am I going to stub my toe because I don't know this trick that my CPA or ACPA potentially might know? That's another mm-hmm. reason why you would hire somebody like us. The third reason, probably the main one, is that we're the impartial experts.
Okay.
We might say exactly what the parents say, but we're not coming to the kid through the parent filter. Right. Mm. We're the impartial expert. And so they listen to what we say usually.
I love it. Usually. Love it. So what happens when they kind of dig their heels in and don't want to do it? How do you handle that?
That's a really good question. Love and grace, a lot of patience. sometimes we'll phone a friend, we'll call mom and dad in to help. it's a challenge. Nobody, we do a pretty good job of trying to screen that before our clients hire us, because if the kid isn't bought in, it's no fun to have to drag the kid across the finish line, right? We want to be celebrating with them as they're running down, you know, towards the finish line. They break the tape and everybody's cheering and excited. We don't want to have to drag them. So we do a pretty good job of being able to test for that in advance. But, you know, kids get nervous and kids get scared. Yeah. And this is a huge project. And it can be very overwhelming. And so, as I said earlier, we try to meet the kid where they are. And so sometimes that's just taking a break, taking a breath, you know, letting them relax a little bit, and then re-engaging. We are pretty good at reading the kids as well. And so, you know, we have a lot on our staff, and more than likely somebody is going to be able to connect with them. And so it's extremely rare when we have a situation like that come up. But, you know, it does happen. It's a very stressful time for kids and parents. And so it's nice to have the go-between to help, you know, manage some of that stress.
Absolutely. One of the questions that I always get, or the response I get from clients and stuff like that is, well, I just make too much money. I mean, my kids aren't going to get any kind of financial aid or anything like that. Can you dispel that?
Yeah, I sure can. So let's just talk financial aid just as a generality. There are two piles of money, right? Need-based aid is on the parents. Income, assets, business income, you know, housing, things of that nature. It's all on the parents. A majority of our clients are not going to qualify for need-based aid. There are compelling reasons, however, to file the financial aid forms, which is how they determine need-based aid. The main financial aid form is called the FAFSA. It's F-A-F-S-A. It's the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. Here in the state of Texas, back in 2019, the Texas legislature passed House Bill 3. One of the requirements is for each kid in Texas graduating high school to submit a FAFSA in order to be able to get their diploma. Now, there is an opt-out form for that, but there's no downside to filing financial aid forms.
Yeah.
In some cases, it's a good idea for the school to know that you have the financial means to be able to pay for college. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first thing. The second reason is by filing FAFSA, the student is automatically going to qualify for what's called a Stafford loan. That's a government loan that's in the student's name only with no parent cosigner. It does give the kids some skin in the game. Not that they'll need it, but it does give them some accountability. And it also helps develop good credit while they're in college.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of our families that don't qualify for aid will still fill out the FAFSA just so the kid can get,
just so they can get a Stafford
loan and have the skin in the game in terms of that. You know, I get that question asked every day. I make too much money. Should I file? The answer to that is almost always going to be yes, because there's no downside to filing financial aid forms. Now, the second pile of financial aid is called merit-based aid, and that's based on the students. That's grades, GPA, class rank, and even millionaires can still qualify for merit-based aid because that's based on the performance that your student has had when they're in high school. Now, there is usually a firewall between need-based aid and merit-based aid. Usually there's a firewall between the two of those, but yeah, I mean, even like I said, even millionaires can still qualify for need or merit-based aid.
Now, and there's like some schools use a special, like their own version of a FAFSA, right?
Yes, they do. There's another financial aid form called the CSS profile. That's a much deeper dive into your family's financial situation. And that is a financial aid form in addition to the FAFSA. There's about 400 universities that require the CSS profile, and most of those are going to be your super elite schools, your upper tier private universities. They're going to be super expensive, and they want to make sure that you're not trying to hide your money from them. And then some schools have their own institutional financial aid forms where they're asking the same questions. They're just doing it on their own proprietary form. Information. Okay. So it can be a little complicated, but that's why you hire somebody like us. who can guide you and walk you through and answer, you know, the questions that you might have, like, should I file? Should I not file? Should I file for this school and not that school? We've seen mm-hmm. that in some situations as well.
That was, you know, one of the ladies that used to work for me at my old firm before I sold. You know, I mean, this is a perfect example of, you know, I mean, she was not making a ton of money at the time, so she probably would have been able to qualify for some stuff. But, you know, she wanted to go into aviation and she was female, wanted to be a pilot. And, you know, when we were talking, she said, well, you know, we started looking at schools and I'm thinking, you know, immediately out of my head, Embry-Riddle, okay, that's going to be the place you're going to want to go.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, you would think, but actually not, because they don't give much financial aid.
Right.
It takes 5 years to graduate in most cases.
Right.
And they have a really atrocious graduation rate
right.
from there. And she ended up going to Lewis University in Chicago, which is actually the best aviation program in the country, and got a full ride scholarship with them. Private school out of state, which everybody thinks, oh, well, that's got to be, you know, way more expensive.
But it's all about the options, and it's all about the student, because the student is a unique individual. And mm-hmm. there are some universities that are going to want to throw gobs and gobs of money at this unique individual because, you know, maybe they check all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Every university is different. They have a certain percentage of students they need to get it from out of state. There's a certain percentage of students that need to be aviation majors, right? Mm-hmm. There's a certain percentage of students that they want that can play the oboe or the bassoon or can play soccer or what have you. Every institution's needs are different. And mm-hmm. so a great candidate for one school, you know, a kid that's a great candidate for one school might not be a great candidate for the other school.
Yeah.
So you bring up a really valid point.
I would think that's one of the major advantages of hiring somebody like yourself, where it's like, okay, well, let's look at all the unique things about you and what you want. And then now let's look for the best place to place you at that point. And it might not be the big mega school with the best football team or whatever.
Yes.
You know, it might be the weird little private college out of Chicago. But you're going to get a phenomenal education as a result of it.
And that's the most important thing, is to be open-minded. We have a number of kids that come into our office and say, this is the only school that I want to apply to. And after going through the process, you know, a lot of times that school ends up third or fourth on the list after they have gone through the process and realized that although, you know, every single person in my family went to this particular school, that might not be mm-hmm. the right best fit for me.
Yeah,
it is it's so individual, that choice. We can't pick a college for any of our kids because we're not them. It's a very individual decision. And the right college for sister, dad, or mom, or grandpa isn't necessarily going to be the right fit for that particular student.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we encourage our kids to apply to 8 to 10 universities. You know, we want a couple of dream schools on there, but we want a couple of schools we know for sure we're going to be able to get into. So this will be a good experience. And then we need a mulligan or two for mom and dad, since mom and dad usually are the ones paying the price. Mom mm-hmm. and dad want you to apply to their alma mater, then the kids we encourage to do that.
Yes.
Is there something called family capital that we want to
take advantage of? On the list, at least.
Yes,
it may not
be
number one, but it's on the list.
Exactly. 8 to 10 is a big deal.
Is there ever a period or is there ever an answer of, hey, you know, what we suggest is maybe the first year or so you go to a community college and then go to the four-year institution?
Definitely. I would say it really depends on the kid, because if we have a high performing student, a lot of times the students will consider community college as grade 13, right? They still feel like they're in high school, but maybe this is the next level.
Well, no.
And a lot of those kids maybe won't take community college as seriously as they would a four-year university. And community college is college. And so if you mess up and you get a D in a community college class, that goes that's part of the transcript.
On your record, yeah.
Yes, that goes on your permanent record. But, you know, that goes on your transcript. And that is going to affect whether or not you're going to be able to transfer. And we do work with some kids that need a bridge between high school and college. Sometimes that has to do with maturity levels. And sometimes the kid needs a little extra time. A lot of our kids will take college level classes in high school, like dual credit classes or AP classes. And if the student has taken dual credit or AP classes and has performed at a high level, then we would encourage them to look at a 4-year university. Now, college is not for everybody. It really isn't. U.S. Department of Education years ago said maybe a third of the kids in high school right now should go to college. And, you know, we're trying to push everybody into college. Not everybody has to go to college.
No.
You know, we need plumbers and electricians and people to join our military and, you know, people to start their own small businesses right out of high school. We need that. So college isn't necessarily right for everybody. The kids that we work with already have a 4-year university in mind at the end of the process. And so everybody we work with has gotten into a four-year university. And
which, I mean, it makes sense. You know, I mean, they're probably going to be, I'm guessing the parents are high performers in a lot of cases too. And it's, you know, okay, you don't get to coast for a year in, you know, 13th grade for a year before
sitting
you get
on the couch eating bonbons and playing, you know, gaming or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, so what are the, I know we talked a little bit about you're now working with some older students, even in the graduate level.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what, tell me a little bit about that and how that works.
Yeah, it's exciting. So a couple of years ago, we had a number of clients come back to us and say, you know, that university wasn't exactly perfect for little Johnny. And so a couple of years ago, we started working with transfer students. And so those are students that are already in college who are interested in looking at a different university. So that's one step. That's an older class that we work with. But we're also starting to beta test medical school. And so we have a couple of kids going through a beta test starting in May for us to help them get into medical school. Once we've got kind of that process, you know, sussed out, if you will, then we'll start looking at MBA and law school. Just, like,
yeah. I mean,
general graduate school.
Yeah.
As well.
It's similar structure for all of those once you have a process.
100%. And then these are our clients that we've already worked with coming back to us saying, you know, we liked your process, we like your team. Is this something that you offer? And so, again, we hadn't even thought about transfer students. We hadn't even thought about working with graduate students until our clients came back to us and said, hey, listen, this is a need in the market. Is this something that you can help us with?
And and I'm not, you know, I know a lot of education consultants and I don't know of anybody else doing that.
Yeah.
So I think it's a differentiator for your business to say, hey, you know, we helped you get here. Let's take the next step and navigate. And that can even be more challenging, kind of managing the politics of, you know, getting into medical schools and graduate programs. And
it's a similar process, but it's a different mindset, right? Now it's not necessarily the parents that are hiring us. It's the student that's hiring us. Because once the student graduates from university, they're considered an independent student. And so we fill out financial aid forms for them. We're not using the parent financial information. We're only using the student information. And it's the student that's going to be doing all of the work. And, you know, they come to us wanting to get into graduate school. And so it's not mom and dad saying, hey, we need to get you into college. And so it's a slightly different mindset. And obviously the graduate students are a little more mature than most of the high school students that we work with. So we're excited to explore that new frontier for us, if you will.
Sounds like fun. I mean, it sounds like another challenge that you get to work on. So.
You always got to learn, right? Always learning.
I know. It's never ending. You never get to the end of the internet. That's the definite thing there. Well, let's switch gears here a little bit and talk about the fast five questions now.
Sure.
All right. So first question, you wake up in the morning, business is gone. You have $500, a laptop computer, place to live, food and clothing, and a cat. What do you do first?
First thing I do is I spend my $500 on a website That's the first thing I do. I get a website up, and then I email every single person I've ever met in my entire life and let them know that I'm starting a business. And then I go onto Facebook and I start posting, and I go onto LinkedIn and Twitter and all of the places that I know my potential client is. And I just let them know that I'm out there, because you might be able to do the best thing on planet Earth, but if nobody knows it, then you're not going to make any money. You're not going to be able to be in business. So that's what I would do. Website, and then go to social after I tap my networks.
I love it. Love it. Love it. And hit the networking groups and go for it.
Yeah.
So, second question. What is the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
I was thinking about this one last night. There's a lot of them. There's a lot.
We've both been around a long time. Yeah,
I mean, 14 years. We probably make a mistake a day easily.
Yep.
I would say kind of long term. I think our biggest mistake was not spending enough money on the right kind of marketing when we first started. It took us 14 years to hit a million in our business. And I think that we could have gotten there a lot quicker had we spent money wisely on marketing. So
yeah,
that's a big category, but yeah, that's probably the biggest thing I would have done differently.
Love it. Love it. Love it. What's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
I don't know if you can see this or not.
The E-Myth Revisited. Yes. I haven't heard that one in a while.
Yeah. A really good friend of mine years ago, Mr. Greg Morrison, and I were talking about business, and he brought up that book.
Greggy and I were emailing last night or on LinkedIn.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
He responded to a question I sent out, and we were going back and forth. So
we were at lunch at Panera, and all of the things that I was talking about came out of this book. I'd never even read the book before. And so he was like, oh my gosh, you have a lot of the fundamentals down. Go read this book. So that was really critical for me. You know, you can't work on your business and in your business at the same time. I mean, you really can't. And so it's really, really important, being a business owner is a different skill set, right? You might be the best widget maker on planet Earth, but that's not necessarily going to make you the best business owner of a widget company.
Yes.
It's two totally different skill sets. It's important to know where your blind spots are. That book really helped me with that.
Well, it's important also to not fall back into that, because so many people are great widget makers and they want to keep being good widget makers and not run the business. And, you know, it's either you're going to hire somebody to run the business for you, or you're going to have to not be the widget maker all the time.
100%. Yeah. I mean, Mike and I, my business partner and I, decided maybe 8 years ago that we wanted to grow. And the only way that we could grow was to scale. And so that was probably the scariest thing that we did in our business, was to hire the first person. We hired an admin who was also a salesperson, and 8 years later, she's still with us. Now, we promoted her several times within the business. And, you know, Mike and I used to do everything in our process all by ourselves. And now we have staff that do those things for us. Now, each of us do, Mike and I both do work with a handful of clients on our own as well, because we wanted to have our thumb on the heartbeat of what's happening within our business and within our industry,
what the kids are feeling at that
100%.
Time, too. And,
and the only way that you can do that is to be in the trenches, but we don't live in the trenches anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we visit.
Well,
you
have
the
ability to step back out if you need to, you know, and let the business run,
We do more high level, high level training and just high level thinking and you know, coming up with the different things that are going to make our business better.
Love it. Next question. What's a tool that you use in your business every day that you might recommend?
Oh my God. I live and die by Google Calendar. I mean, if it's not on my Google Calendar, it doesn't happen. TidyCal we use for calendaring. That's been significant. Textly is another system that we use, which allows us to mass text, different silos of our business. If it's current clients that are 2016 or 2026 grads or our prospects, et cetera. And so those three are probably the biggest ones for us. That Google Calendar, I live and die by it. If I didn't have a Google Calendar, I wouldn't have a business.
Yeah, I always put it in that if it's not on Google Calendar, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't happen. So. It really doesn't. You and I are of like mind in terms of that.
Last question for you. What is your definition of freedom?
Oh, I love this question. Freedom is being able to do what you want to do when you want to do it with whom you want to do it. That's my definition of freedom. You know, my husband jokes with me that I'm not a morning person. You will not see me at a 7:30 BNI meeting. It's never going to happen in a million years.
Nor are most of your clients either. So you're actually pretty good.
Right. And so my husband jokes with me that I have curated my life around my sleep schedule. And that's one of the definitions of freedom. I don't have to have a business.
I can do that
before 10:30 in the morning if I don't want to, because I own my own business.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I am a morning person. And so I don't book anything before 10 o'clock because I want to get a whole bunch of work done before 6 and 10. And, you know, then I'm done. But I mean, by 4 o'clock, which we're coming up on, I'm heading home.
Yeah.
At that point, I don't work past 4 o'clock and I don't work past noon on Friday. So.
And my day is hardly started sometimes at 4 o'clock because most of our meetings are in the area. In the evening.
Well, because that's your audience. That's your client base. Yeah. So that's what you have to work with. So, you starting at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be worn out by the time you're meeting your clients.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Awesome. Well, Amrie, if somebody is interested in learning more about education consultants, what y'all do, how you do it, where's the best place to get that information?
Definitely. Feel free to hop on our website, collegeinroads.com. You're also welcome to email me, AnnMarie@collegeinroads.com. We're on most of the socials, and so you can go search for College Inroads on Facebook and Insta and LinkedIn and, you know, all those places. That's the best way.
Love it.
Email,
love
website. Love it. Easy peasy.
Easy. Set up the website and go to work after that. So
100%.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all this today. It was fantastic. And I really appreciate you for taking your time to do this today.
Oh my gosh. Thanks so much for the opportunity. This was a blast.
You are more than welcome. Well, folks, I would encourage you to reach out to them. They are the only folks that I refer people to when it comes to this. So you can know that I've spent a lot of time getting to know a lot of people doing what they do, and they are the best team that I've ever worked with, and refer clients to them. So take the time. If you have a child now, apparently pretty soon it's going to be when they hit kindergarten that they're going to start preparing for college, but we'll just go with it. Make sure you reach out to them. And you work with people all over the country, correct?
I sure do. We're international. We have clients in London and Canada and Mexico, all over the U.S.
Brilliant. Well, thanks a lot, folks. We'll see you back here the very next time, and we'll be continuing to bring you really cool people like Miss Anne-Marie Hatfield.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, and have a good day.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.